We're at part three now, which will do the transitional psalm between the first and second reading, and then the second reading itself, which moves us in a more profound, I should say, direction. The psalm is a meditation on the first reading and a transition to the second reading. It starts off, Asherei timimei derek. Blessed are they whose way, again, beatitude. Huh? Now, this is Psalm 119. You all know it's the longest psalm. You know, it's in the breviary, it's broken up. You know, it's the longest psalm. Every eight verses start with the same letter of the alphabet. And you go through the whole alphabet, and that means there's 22 stanzas to this psalm. Well, 8 times 22 is 176. So there's 176 verses to this psalm. And it's all about the law of the Lord. Now, how can you love the law of the Lord? Because it's a gift. Now I know how to live. When we get to the law in another sense, I'm going to point this out. The great philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, besides writing a treatise on the Republic, how to govern men's life, you see, for them, the goal of philosophy was to understand how I must live, what I must do to be happy. Father Servet Pinkers has written a marvelous book on this. Moral theology, it depends on how old you are, moral theology in the seminary was from a law book. So it gets to be law. People come to confession, they broke the law, we wrap the gavel, they're free, they go out. That's not the whole point of law. Any law. And St. Thomas's treatise on law is marvelous. But the divine law answers this question. What should I do to be happy? It's a very different way to teach moral theology, or to preach moral theology, or to counsel moral theology in the confessional. Yes. You see, we're still at the two ways. You either choose to be happy, or you choose to go to hell. Ultimately. So, tell me how I can be happy. Now it gets to be a real issue. It's not, well, I'm not sure I broke the law, but I'll go to confession to be safe. You see what we've done to God's people? By this awful teaching of moral theology. That book by Pinkers is P-I-N-C-K-A-E-R-S. And I forgot the name of it. In fact, I wanted to look it up before, and I didn't. I have it here on the shelf. It's the way to happiness. When Jesus is telling us, when he's deepening the law, as he does in the text we have for the gospel today, he's saying, this is the way to be in union with me in this life and in the next. This is the way. Walk in it. You have that lovely text in Isaiah 32. You know, there will, as you walk along, there will be a voice in back of you. And it will say, whether you turn to the right or to the left, it will say, this is the way. Walk in it. Kindness of God to instruct us. Okay. So this Psalm 119 sings the praises of the law. And we'll be brief because Paul is going to take this whole thing to a whole different depth. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Blessed. See it again? Happy. Blessed are they whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who observe his decrees, who seek him with all their heart. So, in the Old Covenant, it's the law, but you've got to seek God with all your heart. You have commanded, this is the second of the stanzas, you have commanded that your precepts be diligently kept. Oh, that I might be firm in the ways of keeping your statutes. I love you, Lord. and I want to do just what you say. Be good to your servant that I may live and keep your words. Open my eyes that I may consider the wonders of your law. You've taught us. And finally, instruct me, Lord, in the way of your statutes that I may exactly observe them. Give me discernment that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Now, the law is regulating external actions, but it redounds to the heart. Right? You see, that's this commentary on the law. I want to move, though, because we have in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 10, the wisdom that belongs to a Christian indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Corinthians, you know, they're a pretty unruly lot to begin with, and they're all intent on wisdom. How much wisdom they had, hard to tell, when Paul, in this letter, is instructing about the body of the church, the body that shouldn't be used for sexual sin, the body of the Eucharist, the risen body. It's all in this letter, because the Corinthians didn't know what to do with the body. That's a typical Greek or American dilemma, because our body is out here and we're in here, and that's not really true. The body is the external expression of the Spirit. Okay. Now, this is what Paul says. We speak a wisdom, or we do speak a wisdom, to those who are mature. Not a wisdom of this age. You know, right now, how many people are pondering how we can make a world government? That'll solve all our problems. Why? Because there'll be a great, strong force at the top which will enforce peace. You can't do that. It never worked yet. The longest period of peace in Europe was during the Cold War, when the two great powers were afraid to start anything, and everybody else was afraid to get in trouble. Sad, isn't it? But that's the longest period of peace in Europe. Well, there was a Cold War. We're funny people. That's the wisdom of this age. There are the rulers of this age who are passing away. Does that mean the demons, or us, or both? Hard to know. Rather, we speak God's wisdom. This is so beautiful, you see. En misterio, in mystery. That doesn't mean we make it obscure. It means we place God's law within to mysterion, the plan of the incarnation, the plan of the life, passion, death, resurrection, return to the Father of Jesus. That's the mystery. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So the mystery is in that context, you see, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, in which none of the rulers of this age, again, knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now you see how clear we have to be so that we can preach the gospel. But the great example of this, in a way, is John Paul II, who knew how to address the world. We should have laws that respect the dignity of every person. In other words, he didn't make it pious all the time. In the vision of Jesus, the experience of Jesus, which inspired this saint, he could say, folks, if you're not that far, at least treat one another humanly. Feed the hungry. Respect your neighbor. Respect your neighbor's wife. You know, do the basics. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, who are the rulers of this age? It's tough to know. It could be the demonic forces. It could be the big shots. Who's hard to know? Okay. But now, he says they didn't know it, And he takes this text and he says, as it is written. And boy, in saying that, he's given exegesis a job until he comes back. Where did he say, where does the scripture say that? There is one text in Isaiah 64:4. I thought I typed it up for you. This is as close as we can get. Maybe it's here. No. Anyway, it's Isaiah 64:3, actually, in the New American Bible. What eye has not seen and ear has not heard, what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. This God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Now, that's a two-level revelation, here and heaven. What has God prepared for those who love him? Eternal union with him, breathtaking joy for eternity. Oh, meditate on heaven. It'll keep you straight in this life. I don't want to miss out on that. Heaven. But it also applies to the plan of the incarnation. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, has not entered into the heart of man what God prepared for those who love him. Jesus. And that's the wisdom to know that. And then he adds, for the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depth of God. In this life, we can be brought to have a living, experiential knowledge of the Trinity. That's wisdom. I mentioned last week Conchita and her advice to her son and elsewhere on the priest being victim. She's got a whole section in her, and these are notes she took over diaries she kept for, I think, 40 years. 16 huge books full. But when she discourses on the Trinity, she's telling us what she knows, what she sees. She's not giving us a, which is beautiful, theological treatise. Raniero Cantalamessa once said, if we just take what she wrote on the Trinity alone, it's enough to classify her as a doctor of the Church. That's where we're going. And we can know part of it in this life if we will pray and obey. And so we have this, this text. The Spirit scrutinizes the deep things of God. That means the Trinity. And will teach us so that we too can be brought up in awe, as so many of the saints were, at this bliss, contentment of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for themselves. But it begins in this life. Eye is not seen nor ear heard. This plan of God, that God will become man, that he would suffer atrociously, die in an act of love, and set us free from sin. Amen.